Already, you know what that music means. What does that mean? That means I'm getting the show ready to go. And it is an ounce of salt per day tonight as I open up the great audio chat here. And here it is. The FACO Tube audio chat is ready to go. And we're going to calm down Janet Mead here. I tell ya. That sounds good, doesn't it, Frank?
So good. But yeah, I mean, the great blessing already in this show is that you won't see my large hand waving around in the screen.
Yes, yes. You're referring to that interview with the lovely, what's her name?
Oh, Emily.
Emily. The lovely Emily, who is a millennial, I take it, who is covertly removing T's from the language, which is another thing that makes me absolutely crazy. How dare they take the T out of important? Important. And I listen for that. I listen to that so closely. The video we're talking about, let's bring it up here real quick. We're going to go and go through fakeologist.com/blog. And good evening, everybody. It's Thursday, May 18th, 2023. This is Fakeologist speaking, Fakeologist show. And I took yesterday off because I was setting up the Telegram audio chat, which is probably going to replace the Discord because Discord doesn't like us. Well, it's a honeypot, as IPS says. And Frank and I were just referencing this video, and I posted it in last week's FAK 718. Frank's here every Thursday, Frank at fakeologist.com. And he went on another podcast because he's getting so dang good at it. And look at this. So here he is there with this lovely lass from somewhere in Australia. And there's Frank there. You don't get to see Frank on my show because he does stuff like this, where here's a good shot of Frank. I tell you, if I wasn't looking closely, I would have thought that was the old wanker there that came out of the camera. You know what I said? Oh, my God. And look how nonplussed Emily is over here. Ooh.
I need to publicly apologize to Emily for that. At least as we discussed earlier, we've worked out why we don't appear on screen now.
And look at this funny comment. Who is this? What is this? This is strange. Fakeologist 1678. I'm not Fakeologist 1678. I don't even know where that number came from. One of these two is very attractive. You got 290 views there. And my other critique of you wasn't your content, of course. Your content is A triple plus, triple A meat. But the audio was not up to your normal standards.
So it turns out then, of course, that the most common invasive surgical procedure.
It's not terrible audio, but it's just echoey. Because I surmise that you're camera or your webcam was picking up the audio, not your mic, wherever it is in the picture.
Yeah, it could have been all sorts of things. But I was trying to not put the microphone in the screen. And all that did was just you know, I was focusing on the wrong performance criteria. You know, if you have the key success factor wrong, then it all comes apart. But very funny.
But you did share your salt thing. I think the most compelling thing you say over and over again is when you go to the hospital, the first thing they do is put a saline drip in. It's the most common invasive
surgical procedure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that a redundant phrase? Invasive surgery? Isn't all surgery invasive?
Invasive procedure. I didn't say surgery. I said
most
common invasive medical procedure. Right.
Well, any puncture of the skin is surgery. So it's surgery. So it's the most common surgical procedure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you get a saline drip of a certain millimoles per liter of saline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quite amazing.
Yeah, we're told salt's bad for you.
And yet we're told so. And that just goes on and on and on right to this day.
Well, the question is, because the method of putting the saline in is through injection, and the method, the only other way is to eat salt. The question is, does it work? Does it get absorbed in the body in the same way? Because we know if you eat a vaccine, it's different than if you inject a vaccine.
Well, in fact, it's injecting the saline actually cause a local injury to your vein where it goes in, because they make it slightly too salty.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes, say, an irritation and necrosis of the lining of the vein at that point.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that is one of the methods of treating varicose veins, to block varicose veins, is to inject saline in excess of the isotonic level to irritate the vein to such an extent that it will, that when you squeeze the vein together, the vein will permanently close as a result of the injury you're doing to it.
Okay.
And all of the saline that you are injected with in hospital is slightly more than isotonic. So it always causes that localized irritation to the veins. So it's way better to eat it. Way better.
Okay. Let me say hi on our live stream at fake11.com/stream1 or fake11.com/radio1. Let's say hi to Sayreville, New Jersey and Englewood, Colorado. They are listening to the audio only. And of course, most of you are on FakoTube at fakotube.com. And we have a chat at FakoTube. And we have Greg Schantz, Kate Emma, and unknown user, the famous unknown user, is also in FakoTube. We're also streaming on Facebook, which has a Fakeologist group, which you can search and find. And the administrator there is Lynn Ertel. I was going to ring up Lynn this week, but I did something else instead. And we're also on Odyssey. Anyone familiar with Odyssey knows that it's a great place to get a feed to bring in videos directly into your phone. The Odyssey live streams don't get saved automatically. I don't know why, but they do not. And I don't bother uploading the Odyssey. So you'll have to come to FakoTube. Why bother when I have FakoTube? And of course, we're on DLive and Twitter. I'm sure Twitter is going to get cut off sometime soon, as Twitter is going through a big change all the time. Every week they're changing something on Twitter. I wouldn't be surprised. They cut off FakoTube auto posting. Even though I wasted at least an hour setting that up a couple weeks ago. Well, they'll probably cut off the live streaming on FakoTube too, or on Twitter as well, unless you pay big bucks. I won't be paying big bucks. I got my own platform to pay for, and thanks to fakeologist.com/donate, you also pay up and help out. The thing I worked on last night instead of doing a show is I have a live stream to hopefully replace, a Telegram live stream, which will probably replace the Discord. I'm tired of Discord. I've said that many times. They keep deleting the channel. I personally am not a big fan of Discord. I think it's all in the name. It's a honeypot. It's meant to be destroyed, and it's annoying, even though Wild Times does a great job bringing it back each and every time. I don't like it. Now, I do realize that for the most part, you don't need to create a type of identity on Discord where you don't have to give your phone number. Although I've been booted off a few times and it does ask for my phone number. So I think maybe they're moving towards that model. I know Telegram does ask for a phone number, but on the other hand, if you do a quick search on pre-search, you'll find there are ways to get burner phone numbers. All they're trying to do is cut down on spam accounts. They just wanted to make it more difficult to set up a Telegram account. Then that way the bots aren't as successful at doing it. I'm sure they can get around it, but it's probably a lot harder if you have to provide a phone number. It's not that hard. It does work. And Telegram is fast. I pay for Telegram now, so it's faster. And I think I have succeeded in creating the Telegram audio chat. And I test drove it last night with Pepper, and it does work. The only difference is you have to ask me or another high up fakeologist for an invite link, and I will give you that invite link if I know you or if we talk, and you can get in. It's that shouldn't be a problem because it doesn't seem like we don't get a lot of random audio chatters anymore anyhow, which is fine. So it does work. Telegram works. It works on your phone. It works on your desktop, your tablet, and it is a very big platform. Yeah, it might be World Economic Forum, but they don't seem to have the history of taking down Telegram channels the same way Discord does. I'm not too worried about that. And also Epic Cash, which is a sponsor of FakoTube, is very, very big on Telegram. Their entire community is on there. And somebody also developed a tip bot, which I have instituted in the Fakeologist Telegram channels. So you can actually tip me in Epic Cash. Have you been following Epic Cash today, Frank?
No, I see what the price is, though. Was it $1.30 or something?
Well, this morning at 9 o'clock, it went to 6 cents. So I called Uncle Vigilante and asked if he was standing on a tall bridge or building, because 6 cents is a 94% decline from yesterday. And
well, I've got it at a dollar here.
Well, that I'm talking about at 9 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Toronto time. And it was at 6 cents. And I was trying to set up a friend's wallet. And when I saw 6 cents, I thought, ooh, this is strange. Let me double check. And I went on another CoinGecko site. It was also 6 cents. And it turns out Epic Pay gets its price from CoinGecko. And there's the official site to go to get the price. And it was actually $1.30, but it was enough to cause me great consternation. However, there is also a downdraft. I'm looking on the prices now, including Bitcoin. And yeah, you're right. We're down to $1.08 right now. So again, I don't recommend currency as an investment, but I do recommend it be part of your portfolio if you want to exchange value for value, because it's a very convenient and worldwide way to do so.
Well, I'm not sure I'd recommend any investment at the moment. I mean, in Australia, the guys that are in charge of the place seem absolutely determined to wreck land title, turn Australia into a United Nations site. It looks like we're going to get there first through the Voice. So that's a challenge for us letter writers.
Yeah, I think all currency is under all fiat currency.
I'm talking about any investment at all. I'm talking about ownership in general, land.
Mm.
You know, our government, as I said, a constitutional change being put forward without seeing the constitutional change.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that they're saying they want to do are already available under the constitution because of indigenous people were given the equality with everyone else in 1967. So there's some extraordinary goings on afoot here.
Mm. I'm sure it's similar all around the world. If it's not, maybe it's going to start there and go to the rest of the Commonwealth countries. It's got to start somewhere. Yeah.
But one of the things I found out today that there is an alternative parliament that apparently representing the indigenous people of Australia that has a $4.5 billion budget.
What is it? It's an NGO. What is it?
It's kind of like an NGO. Yeah.
So they'll be representing the natives.
Yeah, and so the referendum. So they're putting forward that once the referendum is agreed to, that the changes that go through essentially give Indigenous people ownership over all lands and rivers. And that this body that receives $4.1 billion will effectively be another parliament. Indigenous people will have primacy, and all of us will then be invaders, classed as aliens, invaders. And of course, then the UN will just walk in and take over because they'll be the representatives of the indigenous people.
Well, it won't be the UN. It'll be some body like they're creating now that will manage it for the Indians. They'll do a great job of it and pretty much take over for the Indians. And that will be the new way of distributing the resources, I'm guessing. I don't think the Indians are just a stopgap. I think they're just a stepping stone, to be honest with you. Because I think there'll be all kinds of challenges to it. And everyone will be an Indian. And then in the end, okay, we're all Indians, but we'll still use this process anyway to divvy up the resources. I think that's going to have something to do with it. And a lot of this comes from UNDRIP, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. It's big here. And it's just a template to move from a capitalist system to a communitarian system. And
yeah. So it's happening here right now, very quickly. Mm-hmm. So people that are interested, I suggest you look into the Know Your Rights Group website. They've written a letter that we can send to our parliamentarians, our elected representatives, asking them why they don't already have the power under the constitutional amendments of 1960s to do exactly what they're trying to do. And there's a series of questions. So for those people like me that may be interested in at least putting a slight element of resistance towards the steamroller, I trust you will do that.
And let me just say, Kate Emma says, you will own nothing. And after all, they meant it when they said it. The own nothing and the plausible deniability to that statement is the idea was behind that. It wasn't really speaking directly to this confiscation and banning of private property. What it was, a marketing campaign to promote the idea that most of the things we have and use in our daily lives, we don't need to own it. It's more efficient to rent it or to subscribe to it. So for instance, a car. Most people don't need a car for their daily activity. If they subscribe to a car service, it would be cheaper. Now, it would seem on the surface less convenient, but they were really just saying, even a deep fryer, or say an expensive juicer, which can cost up to $3,000. Oh, Pepper is calling on the Telegram line. I didn't even opt it up.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Hello, Pepper. I didn't even set up the audio for Telegram, actually. I don't even know what Telegram channel he's calling in on. Can you hear me, Pepper? Let me see. I didn't set it up. I don't even know how he got my number. And let me just see where the hell Pepper is on the old audio stream. Hold on. I know he's sitting there. He wanted to talk to you. So let me look up call settings. Like I said, I didn't hook it up. Let me see. Here, hold on, Pepper. Pepper wants to talk. He is going to be on the chat. Let's see, chat.
Oh, I got to go back to the chat?
No, now I got you. I wasn't set up for the Telegram, but you found me.
Yeah, well, I saw it last night when we were on Telegram. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear
you. Okay. And so I can hear you perfectly. Chat,
or stay on this,
it's fine.
On this call.
You found me here. It's cool. I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for it.
It's a good sound on this end.
It's perfect. Of course, this is the Fakeologist show, for God's sakes. We're not like that cottage show.
I don't blame her. That's evil. Come on. She was...
It's her show, man.
Entirely my fault.
Okay. So were you listening to the show, Pepper? Because I was going to...
I was on the audio stream, yes.
All right. Well, Pepper is a donor, so we cannot hang up on him or otherwise cuss him out. And he also helped set up the Telegram audio chat last night. And it does work. And I was
you've done a great job, Pepper.
Yeah, now we're testing this out. This is the Telegram line. I've never even what number did you call? I don't even know what number but which username.
It says fakeologist.com with a clown face and the world, the planet, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. And it says Tim.
Yeah, so you call called I'm a fakeologist on Telegram. I've never received a call deliberately. I don't even know how to put a stop to it right now. But that's okay. you got in the back door. I don't know. You figured it out. So good on you, man.
I'm fascinated. I don't know what I did actually, but
well, I think you've just propelled Fakeology into 2023.
Well, definitely. Into the Telegram. And there's this little set of icons on the top of the Telegram call.
I see it.
There's a bear, an ambulance, a number one finger, and a pencil. And that, those, if you have the same symbols, then we're on a secure call. That's what that means.
Really?
That's what that means. Yeah.
So, I didn't know that.
So that means the Kremlin or the CIA are not listening.
This is a Forrest Gump moment. You realize that? I was there when it happened.
Yeah. And Pepper has as his logo the one eye symbolism. So this is the Illuminati on the line. And his number, username is Pepper42. And IPS said 42 is another coded number. So you're just off the charts suspicious tonight.
I thought you would like that. Good.
It's lucky you're not on camera. Otherwise, your finger movements would be carefully analyzed by.
Yeah, you probably got the devil's horns right going on right now.
Oh, yeah, I do, actually. You can't see, but. Yeah.
All right. Well, enough of that. Cool, so we talked about salt, undrip. And all these are in the show notes. And what else? We're on FakeoTube. Oh, yeah. I was just saying that they wanted to switch everything to a subscription model. So basically, you would rent your place. You would you'd subscribe to a car service. You would subscribe to certain appliances that you don't need on a daily basis. And that's what they're talking about, owning nothing. But
let me talk a bit more about that, Ab, because that's obviously great, no problem. And if it was done in a way like the toy library was for my, you know, when my children were younger, they're still going.
Uh-oh, Frank's on his old crappy Wi-Fi. Not Wi-Fi. No. He's on 4G at the salt mines. And now he's gone, and now he's back.
Same thing could happen if it was managed by, you know, the local, the people in your street, say, or in your block.
Yeah.
But and sharing cars. But great idea.
Yeah, but, well, that's what they were, that actually is what they're talking about. And
but,
same
but it's not, the, though, is it? It's they're talking about having control over who gets what and where and
well, you know,
having government as your partner. That's the problem.
Yes. But what I'm saying is even the 15-minute city, that it's been taken and accelerated into a big conspiracy. And even though I'm from the old way of looking at things, suburbs, cars, subsidized highways, all that kind of thing, I see merit in for many people living in a city. I don't think it's a big conspiracy. And I have said that publicly.
Hold on. Here's the big conspiracy. Why are they fining you for doing more than 100 trips outside the boundaries? That makes no sense.
Well, yeah, the point is they're trying to use carrot and stick to control the population. There's no doubt that they want to limit and meter the resources of the world. And there is no doubt that most people are convinced that we are overusing the resources of the world. I don't believe any of that. But that is their excuse for bringing in this system of controlling people and how they parse, how they distribute resources. And
so again, I'll go back to what I was saying before. The issue then is, I think everybody agrees that everybody having in the street, having a lawnmower,
Yes, it's not a great idea.
It's just silly. No question. And encouraging that kind of behavior makes sense. But what seems to be the concern with these guys is once they make those resources available in that way, in that kind of community way, that people will use the resources even more and we'll have more opportunity to do things. That seems to be the thing that they're kicking against. Because I guarantee that that's exactly what will happen, is when people start sharing their stuff, what you'll find is that the quality of life will skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely skyrocket, because everyone will have access to everything and it will be cheap.
Okay. And I don't really track that, but okay.
Well, no, because you're going to have access to, instead of you needing to buy a lawnmower, a whippersnapper, a this or that, basically all the things are held, you know, we're for a suitable size group.
So it'll be in the commons and it will be subscribed to it. So we'll all pool our resources to buy the best lawnmower. Yeah,
we don't need any government intervention to do that.
No,
it's all,
we don't.
The government is just going to organize it,
and they're going to third-party private it out anyway. They're not going to do it. They're going to give a private company that contract.
Yeah, that's right. They'll do it to BlackRock. That's the problem. It'll be a company owned by BlackRock. It'll be like Uber. It'll be rubbish.
Yeah, but don't forget, BlackRock is just the management firm for the world's collective money, pensions, that kind of thing. Yeah. BlackRock is just a fund company that people toss their money into to manage their pension. Let's remind everyone where that money comes from. That is the common money. It's not Larry Fink's money. He just manages it and takes a handsome cut every month for doing so. But that's what I mean. People say, well, who's BlackRock? It's all you guys. It's all the teachers and unions and pensions. And you just are too lazy to manage your own money, so you give it to BlackRock. And then they pool the money and then go buy half of Coca-Cola. And then they tell Coca-Cola what to do. That's how it works.
And none of which works out to your benefit when you're having Coca-Cola promoted a la Idiocracy, which is, if you haven't seen that movie, you need to see it.
I'm going to watch it one of these days. But the point is, we have only ourselves for participating in the system to blame. That's the problem.
I don't agree with that. I think we are raised in a system from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
We're up against people that are cunning. And to say we've only got ourselves to blame, that only works once you become...
But we consented to this system being set up because we said nothing. So the consent was all the way. And now we have the situation where we've let corporations get really large. We knew what the consequences would be if we let these companies grow and grow and grow and fettered. Mm-hmm.
If it's not informed consent, it's not consent. It's trickery.
Well, yeah, maybe. But nobody, for the most part, cares. And it just happens. Now, so that's the end of my rant. So this 15-minute city, you'll own nothing and be happy. It all comes from fairly plausible places, and it's not, to me, a real conspiracy. But I think they've taken it, they've allowed it to seem like a conspiracy to mask the real machinations going on, like the UN UNDRIP being implemented by the NGO in, say, Australia. Are you making something, Frank? Or is that Pepper?
No, it's not me. It must be Pepper.
Pepper, are you making something?
No. I'm just touching some stuff on my desk. That's all.
And Pepper, have you heard anything from Marcus Allen?
not in a while. Not in a while.
No, he's vanished.
What? Once in a while, I send him a text.
Have you had a Long Island iced tea with him yet?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think I'm drinking in anytime soon.
Okay.
I really am against that.
Because you're in New Jersey and you come Philadelphia abuts, or sorry, Pennsylvania abuts New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can pretty much get there in about a little less than 2 hours.
Okay.
If I tried.
It takes me 2 hours to get across Toronto on a bad day, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, I kind of like going that way too, but I haven't done that yet.
Oh, now we have a caller in, or Frank. And
I
don't know.
This is great. This is like Talkback Radio. I'm loving
it. Someone calling in on the 401 line. Hello, 401 line. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Wait, you got to press the button. Hello. Hello, 401 line. Where are you calling from? And what's your name?
This is Derek from Rhode Island.
Derek from Rhode Island. Hello.
Hi, Derek from Rhode Island. We've talked to you before.
Yeah.
Yes, you have. You have.
And say hi to Pepper.
Pepper, hey, how are you doing?
All right.
Nice. Good. Good.
Now we got all. We got all the lines coming. Every line is jammed.
This is a great workout for the new system, Abe. It's holding up.
This
well.
Isn't the new system, though. This is not the fake ologist telegram audio chat. This is Pepper squeezing in on the telegram line through a way no one's tried before.
Pepper shaking it up.
Yeah, Pepper shaker. Yeah, Pepper Shaker. I love it.
Pepper Shaker.
Hey, we got salt and pepper on the line. Who didn't bring that up? Come on. It's salt and pepper.
So wait,
that's great.
I have something to say about the own nothing and be happy. Right, that totally makes no sense, because when you own something, you have something to take pride in and take care of, which brings you happiness and sense of fulfillment. Right. So when you own nothing, what are you going to be chasing after? Just fun all the time? I mean, what the hell?
Hey, listen, yeah. I take there's no pride in my lawnmower.
Now let me tell you that I can back you up on this, on that, Derek. But I had in my youth, I spent a lot of time managing factories and mine sites. And one of the things I worked at very early on was that this whole thing about, you know, where they say everyone should change jobs and become versatile and so on. I completely reversed that policy at these sites that I worked at, where I would say every piece of equipment was assigned to someone to be responsible for. And they were given a little mini budget to take care of it. And that caused that work site, every one of those work sites, the productivity skyrocketed as a result of that. So that idea of ownership and responsibility, personal ownership and responsibility, results in fantastic outcomes. Always.
I think so. Yes. Yes, definitely. I mean, when you have nothing to take pride in, I mean, and you're just taking pride in having fun because you owe nothing and you don't have anything to do. Like, what are you? What is that? You know, I mean,
that's right.
Empty. Yeah.
Yeah. And when, the cost of operating front end loaders and all sorts of equipment just plummeted as a result of doing what I did at these work sites. It was amazing. Absolutely astonishing.
That is amazing.
And I actually wrote a paper on it at the time that ended up being published at the at Swinburne University. I think I'll have to try and find it somewhere, but that was really amazing, that outcome. So yeah, I'm just giving you some, you know, genuine feedback. If people want to try those things in their workplace, they'll find it astonishing. Just move away from this we all have to be versatile idea, and instead make people responsible for a specific piece of equipment, a specific task. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and when you're not trying your hardest, or at least trying a little bit, to even when you're lifting something, if you're not trying and lifting the right way because you're just lazy, you're going to hurt yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you are.
Right. So
you've got to gird your loins.
Yes. Yes. So, I don't know. That was my rant, but
yeah.
Oh, great. Fantastic contribution.
It goes both ways. I don't think most people are responsible, though, but I agree with all of that. I own all my own tools and stuff, and there's pride in that. But is it the most efficient way to distribute resources? I'm not sure.
Well, I mean,
you don't have to. What I was demonstrating before, Ab, is you don't have to own it to be responsible. But if it is going to be done, it needs to be done on a local level with the people that are, you know, in the cooperative, if you like, making sure that everybody that's participating has a role that they understand and have responsibility that they understand. You know, there's more to it than just saying, okay, we're going to make BlackRock available, because all that will happen is it will get hopelessly inefficient. No one will care. And the whole concept will disappear under its own fundamental breakdown under the weight of bureaucracy and nonsense.
You got that right. I agree.
What do you do with a rental car? You get the insurance and you beat the crap out of it because it's not yours. You know, it's like that's the mentality.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, whereas if the car was owned by the local community, you all agreed, you all put it in, or the several cars.
There'd always be one guy that wrecks it and the other guy that cleans it. I mean, it's sharing.
But I'm gonna tell you, when you say there'll always be one guy, maybe. But what my experience was at I'm talking about several factories now that I did this stuff at. These people all came up to the game, and what happened is the laggards were kind of pulled along by the need to fit in with the rest of the group. The guy that was onto this was a guy called Enrico Semler out of Brazil.
Okay.
Who a fantastic book that he wrote on what he called self-managing groups.
Okay. Interesting. I'll post the link. The only other thing I want to say about rental cars is someone said they're the best cars to buy because they're the best maintained, because of people that beat the crap out of them. They get fixed right away, so they're highly maintained. So there's that.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, they're very well maintained. Whereas the average guy probably doesn't maintain his vehicle. The average person just neglects it. The average person, right. Not you, but the average person.
No. I see what you're saying.
Runs it into the ground until there's a major problem, and then they fix it.
Yeah, or have to buy another one, or they wait till it's dire.
They just run it down. Like,
I grew up not, I had enough money to make it, but I always had to work on my own stuff because I couldn't pay someone to do it. So I learned.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
How to do these things, and I think. When you learn how to take care of your things and about them,
that's a great thing to be. See, I, on the other hand, just worked a little longer so I could pay somebody because I didn't want to do it.
So. Well, I mean, my well pump went on Friday night. Okay. Nobody could come here till Monday. So, and they wanted $2,000. I went and took me 7 hours, went and bought one and fixed it myself. Because I couldn't afford to pay for it, it's like I looked at it and said, well, I'm gonna do it. I have no water, so it can't get much worse than it is now. And I did it, and I've never done it before.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
I'll be damned if my kid's not gonna have a shower,
I got it.
So I don't know, it's just like nobody takes pride in anything, it seems, and like I heard this quote before. It was, do everything the way you do one thing, the way you do your favorite thing, do everything that way, like carry yourself in.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. I like it.
Does Pepper like it?
Sure. I mean, I would agree with mostly everything, you're speaking up about, but, I did recently sell my house after 24 years of ownership, and I just wasn't getting out of it what I thought I put into it.
Okay.
And I just decided I wasn't going to own a house anymore. My kids were grown up. They already left the house. They weren't coming back. I just thought I didn't need it anymore. So I'm renting about a block away.
And are you happier? like Klaus Schwab or the people you want to believe are Klaus Schwab say? Does that make you happier?
I'm able to save more money.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
I must admit, if I was in your situation, Pepper, I would take Borders in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd put a salt factory in my basement myself.
Yeah, I kind
of that would wreck your house pretty badly. I'd wreck your house.
And I called Derek to dig a well to feed that.
You know, I kind of had that idea, but my wife wouldn't hear of it. So,
all right.
You know, we're a business together, my wife and I. So we, you know, it's not that I have to listen to what she says, but we equally help.
You
each
do
other
if you want to get along.
Well, sure.
Hey, I'm married.
Yeah, you've got to reach consensus. Yeah.
I'm not easy to get along with either. So, you know, it's a compromise that we have to make. That's why we get married. It's a business, I think.
Yeah.
Are you too spicy, Pepper? Is that the problem?
I'm sorry.
Are you Pepper and is she Paprika? That's a children's thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Pepper, well, we've been together a long time. So,
Pepper, you wanted to talk to Salt about something. I know. I want to make sure you get your questions into Salt.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But let me just say one more thing about selling my house. I don't know if I already got into this with you guys, but I sold my house. My wife would probably say it was a different reason why I did it, and the reason that I just gave you guys is pretty valid also. But I was also really concerned at one point that I was going to get forced into the vaccination. And I didn't want to be held down by a mortgage here and have to live here and quit my job. So I wanted to be able to get up and move whenever I wanted to and not be held down by a mortgage here. So as it turned out, I didn't get forced into vaccination to keep my job. But instead, I had to test every week, which, you know, wasn't so bad because I was able to do saliva tests. So I didn't have to take this invasive thing up my nose. That's the story. That's the reason why I sold my house. But I ended up not really having to worry about it, which was great.
They spooked you out of your property. That sounds familiar. Just like they're going to spook us out of our stocks.
I don't really look at it that way because, again, I'm not held down. So if something happens or if I change my mind and I don't want to live here anymore, I can go live somewhere else.
All right. That's valid.
And I'm not held down. Am I happier? Yeah, well, maybe. I'm saving a lot more money. I'm able to do some more traveling that I never did before. And I don't feel like a ball and chain here with my house. And that's that. I don't know.
There's a lot of advantages. I'm a trustee for one of my brothers and,
you're a trustee,
you know, I'm his state appointed guardian.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I got it.
And I understand. And we often have that discussion about what we should do. You know, is he better off now at his age cashing out from his property and using the money to, you know, go and travel a bit and enjoy himself?
Right.
Yeah. It's always the question. What time, when do you start spending your money and running it down to zero and bouncing the check to the undertaker?
Exactly.
It's an impossible question to answer precisely.
I'm thinking more and more about retirement and what I'm going to do then and where, you know, even like where I want to live. I don't know necessarily if I want to live here in the United States. I might want to move somewhere else.
Yeah, I think we all think the same way. We all do. Do we spend our money before they take it is the question. I've always thought that whatever we have, they're just going to take. It's always been in my mind, even before COVID, I figure, you know, we had this wealth and a lot of them think, well, we have our wealth because of the collective anyway. Some of us worked harder, but it's all because of the collective that we could work hard We could accumulate. We could become fairly well off and stop working, which, of course, is the elite's worst nightmare, that we all stop working. And then who does the work? So then they got to get rid of us, and then they got to replace us, because they need hungry people to do the work to start their climb up the mountain until their legs get cut off when they get too lazy or rich. I've always thought that.
or as they said in the movie, this is no country for old white men.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just can't have too much wealth, because then who picks up the garbage?
Yeah.
I think it is a herd management issue that we don't think about, because we don't manage a herd.
Yeah.
But what do you do when your cattle gets too fat and they start wobbling around the field? You got to cull them. And if they stop reproducing too, can you imagine your herd that said, we're not going to reproduce anymore? No more.
Well, but isn't it the herd managers that have induced the lack of reproduction?
Well, I think so. Because
yeah, I do too.
I think so, but it doesn't mean it's going to take, but it did take in a big way. And I think it's taking this last shot in the arm, pardon the pun, has really accelerated things on both ends, on the beginning end of life, and at the end part of life. They're chopping the ends off.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Happy thoughts.
Oh, happy days.
All right, we got about 15, 20 minutes left. I want to keep the show about an hour just so I can, watch a little hockey just to take my mind off.
I'm on a mission as well. So I've got to finish at 10.
So get your questions in, Pepper.
Okay.
Fire them off in rapid succession. Good. Let Frank answer.
Frank, you seem to be a very spiritual person always. And I love the way that you speak about your relationship with God. Are you a Catholic?
Okay, so I should say to you that I don't really consider myself a spiritual person. I kind of think of myself as a practical person, if I'm truthful. And so what I can say to you is, I'll summarize the journey for me quite quickly. What I realized, when people started talking about when the salt thing came along, where obviously we were being told a whole lot of nonsense about salt, then I realized that as far as the earth being flat is concerned, I realized that engineers always assume the earth is flat. And also when I was training to get a pilot's license, which I haven't got yet, you assume the earth is flat for that as well, for the operation of an aircraft. And then I realized that it's impossible to have a vacuum of space. And then that's when I started reading taking the Bible seriously as a reference book rather than a fiction, a fairy tale. And that's when my life was kind of pretty miserable at the time, I started praying, saying the Lord's Prayer, when I realized that there's only one prayer officially authorized by Christ, where he doesn't say pray to Mary, Mother of Jesus, or pray to Saint Bartholomew of the First Knuckle. He says pray straight to the top. And from the time I started doing that, there was, that my life just became, I would have to say, fabulous, really. Just amazing in all sorts of ways. It was like playing a country and western song in reverse. My dog came back to life. My children started talking to me. My wife started talking to me again, and I gave up drinking, if you know what I mean.
And does your truck run?
And my truck runs, all of the stuff that was going wrong. Like even the other day, a crazy thing happened when we were operating the boiler and couldn't shut down. A leak sprung, and I sort of went, had to go over out somewhere. And then while I was away, I prayed and I came back and twiddled a few dials, and all of a sudden the boiler stopped leaking. That's just mad stuff like that. In front of other people, they watch it happen in front of them. Like my business partner's watching these things occur, and he just shakes his head. You know, and he encourages me to keep praying. It's just because it works. So I'm just from a very practical point of view, that's why I pray. You know, I don't get messages from God or that I can perceive. I think I get them in some way. But I'm just saying, as from a practical point of view, as a person who has experienced when I do this, when I behave this way, the results have been amazing. That's why I do it. And because I think the Bible is true, or I behave as if the Bible is true, and that's why I do it. So it's not a very spiritual answer, is it? And so I think it would be.
I think it is.
I think it would. Okay. I just think it would be misleading for me to tell you that, you know, I'm a deeply spiritual person. I don't consider myself that at all.
I don't consider myself deeply spiritual. In fact, I struggle with it every day. Sometimes I don't know what I believe, and maybe I should take a different attitude. Maybe I should pray more than I do. I realize that it works, but I just
don't. Well, the Bible simply says this. So the original meaning, as I understand this, and if I'm wrong, you know, by all means, biblical scholars, you know, correct me for it. But my understanding, the original meaning of the word believe, or as it comes from the Greek or from the Aramaic, actually means to behave as if something is true. So when Jesus says, "He that believes in me," etc., etc., the one way of translating it is, "He that behaves as if what I say is true, so shall he live." So I'm taking that point of view. I'm behaving as if it's true. And when I do that, the outcome is great. And the Bible doesn't say pray to Mary. It doesn't say pray to St. Bartholomew the First Knuckle. It says pray to the Heavenly Father. And so that's all I do. I only really say that one prayer.
I absolutely agree with you. So then it's, you know, safe to say along with that then you're not Catholic but.
So let me tell you about that. My father was raised a Catholic.
Right.
And my view is that because of that, he totally rejected Christianity. The experience was so traumatic for him and also for his sisters, that they essentially walked away from religious activity of all kinds.
I agree. It can certainly get in the way because it's a totally. I don't know how anyone's comfortable with it because I'm not. I haven't been, not in a long time.
No, and you know a lot of church behavior is specifically anti-biblical. For example, as far as I can tell, all churches support the LGBT move. You know, and that's, you know, specifically defies what's going on in Leviticus, for example. So,
I haven't been to any. I don't. That's the thing too, though, because I don't see any Catholic churches in my area that are subscribing to that in any way, shape, or form.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay. But certainly the Anglican Church here and even probably the Lutheran Church and so on. But yeah, I mean, I think
Protestants are going to that. But then again, all the Protestants I know are very anti all of that.
Yeah, but the church, the organization, is driving that way.
Yeah, no, I can see how it is, but individually, some people are just not buying it, and they're going. You know, these are people that have a brain, and if they don't like what their church is doing, they leave and go to another church that is, you know, follows what they believe, and they're able to stay away from, you know, these other churches that are joining, you know, going with the LGBT and all of that. And I just,
yeah. So anyway, my church, for want of a better word, is by you know, YouTube, really, either participating in live stuff or by just replaying the discussions that go on.
Okay.
And there's some people that I interact with, you know, where I, you know, believe it or not, there are some spiritual karaoke people.
Okay, so going on to my next question, if I'm not cutting you off.
No, go ahead.
One of the things that, if we are going to believe that the Bible is true, and we are going to read from the Bible and understand some kind of interpretation, because that's what's necessary, right? I mean, that's what the old theologians have been doing for centuries, right? Yep. And millennia. They've been following the word of God and interpreting it in their way. How do you feel? And I'm going to go straight to the point. How do you feel about the Trinity?
I'm not a Trinitarian at this stage.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. I was not expecting that answer from you.
So as far as I can work out, the...
There's God calling.
Sorry, guys.
He wants you to repeat, are you not a Trinitarian?
Yeah, so I'm not a Trinitarian because as far as I can establish, there's only one place where we talk about Jesus being God, and that's the part where in John where he says the Word was with God and the Word was God. So we're saying at that point it's clear that Jesus is God. Now, there is some biblical study.
Go ahead.
There is some biblical scholarship that says, you know, one interpret the way that was originally written, that part could have been, and the Word was a God.
Right.
Whereas, you know, for me, the rest of the biblical story has Jesus as the Son of God.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's where I'm at. And, you know, I accept that I may be wrong about this. You know, it's more likely that I'm wrong than right. But at the moment, until I get better info.
Wow. Okay. You just pretty much shut me down, because not that I was going to get into an argument with you. I wasn't. I was going to accept anything you had to say, but I didn't think that you were going in that direction. And that's certainly the direction that I'm leaning into as of late.
And okay. Well, I can only pray that the things I say don't cause you any harm.
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, in fact, to be a false Yeah, but to be a false witness of God is not something I want to do. So if I'm doing that, Creator, I apologize, and presumably you will rebuke me at some stage if I'm wrong.
It's an interesting thought.
Okay, we've got about, a few more minutes left if you want to ask a couple more rapid-fire questions. Of the great Frank, frankatfakeologist.com.
I'm pretty much stopped there. I've been listening as of late to, I guess you can call him a Unitarian, but he's a biblical Unitarian. He's not a Unitarian Universalist or anything like that. His name is Dale Tuggy, and he has his own podcast called Trinities. And interestingly enough, he titles it Trinities, but he talks about how pretty much the Trinity is not a valid doctrine taught in the Bible, neither the Old Testament nor the New.
Yeah, and that's my view. I think the Trinity is a distortion of Catholicism. Yeah. I just see it as Jesuit tricks. Well, in fact, even Kabbalist tricks, you know, because that's just what I think.
I tend to agree, and I've come to this as of late. Only that I was raised from the time I was 5 to the time I was like 15 or 16, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe in the Trinity.
I know. Yeah.
They don't believe in heaven or hell.
Yeah, so I'm not with them on that. I think there is a heaven, and I think there's Sheol.
Right. And I still have to look into that further to even have a belief system built around that. I'm pretty sure that
I can only recommend is that you do your best to avoid believing anything, and think of yourself as, you know, an observer. You know, try and be a scholar. Think of yourself as a scholar, if you like. You know, okay, you're at the start of your scholarship, but that's how I would treat the journey if I were, you know, giving advice to anybody. Do your best not to believe anything, to assess all of your thinking critically, and do your best to stay not attached to the opinions that you form. Have thoughts, but not beliefs. You know, it's good to have opinions and models, but step aside from believing things if you can. It's very difficult to not believe something.
I think that's why I'm here, though. I certainly do associate myself with the type of people that, you know, attach themselves to this channel, to this way of, to me, it's a way of life. You know, it's not a belief. And I've never trusted even myself to be right and to be correct in every single thing that I'm going to choose. But you know, I have to start somewhere, and I'm going to grow, and I'm going to keep learning and reading and observing and listening to other people's thoughts and ideas. And that's like I said, that's why I think I'm here and not somewhere else, like, you know, stuck in a church or believing what the mainstream is believing. I'm here with you and Av and all these other things that I've, you know, seen and not necessarily take everyone's word for. You see?
Yeah, it's a great place. Hey, does Derek have any closing comments? He's still on the line, I think. Are you still there, Derek?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Good.
Closing comments? No, not really. Just listening.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Call in anytime.
And I've got to rudely bail out. So
I'm glad thank the phone. I'm glad the phone lines work.
I can't thank you guys enough tonight.
Derek, you said something to Frank?
Oh, yeah. I said Frank's a lot.
Frank's a lot? Okay.
Boom, boom.
Thank you, Derek. All right.
Take care. And on that,
see you, everybody.
Have a good night.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
And thanks, Ed. Great.
All right. Frank, I was going to play two comedian clips before you go. Short ones.
Well, I am going to have to go, and I'll listen to them in the replay.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Frank at fakeologist.com, an ounce of salt per day. No, how to take care of your penis.com, an ounce of salt per day. And that is his handle on Telegram. Send him a message on Telegram or on the Frank at fakeologist.com. So Frank is Frank still there? Frank is gone. All right. You're still there, Pepper?
Yes.
Okay. Listen to this clip.
Mr. Rivers, how are you? You made a ton of news officiating the wedding in New York yesterday. Is this like a new cottage career move for you?
I am so excited. Okay. I should do very well because I don't charge.
And do you think that the country will see the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
You know Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. It's okay. She doesn't.
Okay, that's a little truth and humor. They always.
And so said no living comedian afterwards.
Well, listen to this.
You know what I think? you know, discuss amongst yourselves. If you don't agree, you don't really have to burn me at the stake for just not agreeing with me. But let me just throw out one idea. And I hope that the hungry dogs in the street have enough meat as not to come after me for thinking and speaking. Heard of it. But I have this to say as follows. And it's okay I say it because nobody listens to the fucking thing I say, which is great. I'm tired of being monitored, you know, and corrected and shit. Fuck it. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Trump, hear me when I say this. Trump is, in my opinion, the first woman president of the United States.
Yeah, and she did add more context to that, but that would wreck the whole point of the clip. And is she telling the truth? Was Joan Rivers telling the truth? Is Roseanne, this is from a couple of years ago, Roseanne Barr, I believe, said this, and I got this off of IPS. He brought it up on one of his fantastic podcasts. If you are not subscribed to IPS, you are missing out on the most consistent auto hoax, fakeologist style audio out there, period. And I listen to all his shows. One of the only shows I listen to, every single one of them, and I highly endorse him. And he had that clip, and I went and found it and put it on FakoTube. What say you, Pepper? Closing comments.
Oh, I don't know. They could all be women, and they could be like, their wives could be men and all that. It really never mattered to me. I never had anything to do with choosing them. You know, I see that now. I mean, if they're president, it's not because I put them there. It's not because of my vote or anybody else's vote. They're selected, not elected. And I've been believing that since around the last election.
Well, Bill Cooper says there is no constitutional article that mandates an election for president. They are selected by the Electoral College, which is appointed by the states. So they could literally appoint Ronald McDonald and that would be fine. It has nothing to do with having an election. It's no more relevant than a telephone vote on American Idol, but it keeps everyone distracted and everyone thinking that they had something to do with it. And that allows the powers that be to say, well, hey, you voted for him, but did they really? The answer, of course, is no. If you just read your constitution, it's only 7 pages. So I think that's when I heard Bill Cooper say that way back when and repeated on one of the audios I listened to, I thought, yeah, that pretty much explains it. We're just arguing over American Idol.
And that's what I meant before about kind of being disappointed in this country and not necessarily caring whether I live here anymore. I'd like to see if I can move away, find a different country where, I don't know, it's not at the forefront. In this country, this is at the forefront. Politics and everything else. And look who they give us. They give us two guys I'd rather not be choosing from. I'd rather be choosing from, you know, something that makes sense from, you know, maybe someone more youthful, maybe someone, you know, not so radical on both sides. It is distracting.
Yeah, it is.
I wish I didn't, you know, I'm just disappointed in the American dream, basically.
Yeah, the American dream. If you wake up, it becomes a nightmare or something like that. I probably botched that one. Well, hey, no, thanks for all the commenters on FakoTube. FakoTube chat is alive and well because we don't have a chat on YouTube because I am not going to probably go back to YouTube anytime soon. So if you found me on YouTube, you'll only see me on FakoTube. Now, of course, FakoTube doesn't get the distribution YouTube does, so please share this show. The only way I get new listeners is if you share it. Do you have any friends at all please share it with them. Please come to the Telegram. That's where I'm going to concentrate more of the chatting and more of the audio chats. Fake11.com/Telegram. Get your butt off the Discord. We're not playing their games either. Why do we give them energy when they are just there to destroy us? So please get over to Telegram. It's been friendlier to us. Make sure you join our forums, fakeologist.com/forums2. Make sure you join the Fakeologist blog, email list, fakeologist.com. There's so many sites to join, but I gave you the top ones. Please get over there and please take a peek at them. I think I'll put a link on fakeologist.com to the Telegram. Do I have one over there? I guess I don't. Okay, maybe I'll put it on there. Telegram, Telegram, Telegram. That's where the audio chat will be. Pepper, thank you for joining. You snuck
thank
in
you
on the
so
much. The
thank
secret
you.
Line. That was really smart of you. I had to find you because you just popped up on my screen and I didn't know how to get to you. So kind of funny. We're not going to tell anyone how Pepper did it because really, well, I would have given Pepper the studio link so he could watch the show. But I totally forgot about it, actually. So it's just as well you went.
Maybe you were hoping I wasn't going to connect.
No, I totally forgot about it. I forget about everything now. So, yeah, it would have been fine, though.
I can't thank you enough, really, for
well, thank you for being
today.
A donor. And I do want to do a weekly day where I talk to donors that want to talk. Not everyone wants to talk for sure. So if you are a donor, I'll hit you up. I have your email, so I'll email you. And if you want to come on and do a one-on-one with the Fakeologist, why wouldn't you? Because, of course, you support it. But if you don't, that's cool, too. And give you guys an opportunity to speak because you guys are the sustainers. You set it and forget it. You just donate once a month and don't even think about it. So I appreciate you all. Fakeologist.com/donate. And all the monthly donors are on this page, fakeologist.com/donate/donors. Look at them all. Look at all. Amazing. Thank you, guys. All right. Have a good night, Pepper.
You too. I'm also grateful for Frank tonight and the words he had to share with us.
Yeah, Frank is the best. He's here every Thursday. Frank@fakeologist.com. Send him an email. All right.
Yes, I'm going to.
Take care, Pepper.
Take
care. Salt and Pepper tonight. What a combo. Spicy, spicy. Fakeologist, always something different. We talk about anything and everything, but we all understand it's all fake. It's all staged. It's all a creation. And we're not bothered by it. We understand it. Thank you, guys. Don't forget, this is the end of the week. It's Thursday. Saturday, we'll be back for an audio chat. Sunday, we'll be back for another audio chat. Be Told with Rick. He's either on Saturday or Sunday or both. Monday is a holiday. Probably take that day off. Memorial Day in the United States of America. And Queen Victoria Day here in Kanakistan. So we'll probably be off Monday. And maybe back Tuesday with Uncle Epic. He might be back. Let's see. I don't know. All right. That's enough blathering. Take care. Over and out. Goodbye.
That alarmed me.